Welcome to Day Zero Update for January 12th, 2025. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
Yeah, two-man crew this week, but we finally have plenty of news to talk about.
Yep.
A bunch of things have happened. Mostly good news.
Yeah, mostly.
Here. We got a couple of things here of disappointment and whatnot, but mostly it's pretty solid.
Yep.
Here, we got a new showcase that's going to be happening here in almost, well, another week and a half.
Yeah, about 10 days from now.
That is, I'd say a bit far to announce something, but whatever. We got some games coming out, luckily, and some stuff that got announced. And yeah, we'll get to that stuff here a little bit later. But before we do that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I will start here.
Mm-hmm.
Been playing E's Memoir, The Oath in Fel'Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
This came out on PS5, PS4, and Switch. It is the newest version of E's The Oath in Fel'Ghana, which is a remake of E's 3,
mm-hmm.
Which, as I was reading, was basically them kind of changing up the gameplay formula that the first two games had. Which was kind of a bumping battle system.
Mm.
And they kind of took a lot of notes from Zelda 2,
mm-hmm.
Link's Adventure, that has a lot more side-scrolling elements to it and action, like bespoke action of swinging weapons and whatnot. Mm. But here, I think they've changed it up a little bit for the PSP original game.
Mm.
Apparently the PC version is the worst of all for these. That is the first version they released of the game back in like 2005. And then they added some new stuff for the PSP release and then have added more stuff on for this release. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where that's at. They've added a number of accessibility options here, or more quality of life stuff. So they have what they call turbo mode, which you've probably seen in some of the Trails games, where they just let you kind of turn the speed up on things so you can kind of spend less time running around from environment to environment to just get across the map and more time on the things that are interesting about it. Which so far, about 3 or 4 hours in, has been the combat is pretty fun. And the cool thing about it is as you take out enemies, they drop little like bonus stat bonuses, mm-hmm. that then get you, you know, increased speed of your attacks, increased damage, increased XP you get out of stuff. So you're kind of encouraged to kind of continually get into combat there versus just waiting around and taking your sweet time on things, mm-hmm. Which is a nice little way to kind of keep the action going here. Though some of the enemies are tougher than others. There's one that you find in a second area that is kind of a it's kind of like a crab essentially that blocks all your attacks from the front side, so you kind of have to get around it. Though the annoying thing is they'll throw like 3 or 4 of those assholes at you. So you're kind of running around them, getting like 1 or 2 hits in a group and then running back around, getting a couple hits in, kind of just slows it down a lot on that kind of stuff. You do get magic, fairly early on, which is necessary for the first boss fight. Where I was at, I was getting wrecked by the boss fight, so I essentially ran out of the dungeon, back to the hometown base, went to the shop and kind of bought some new equipment that made it so I wasn't taking like a seventh of my HP in damage every time I took a hit. That made that much more of a bearable fight. Which was nice. Like And so far, from what I've seen, the equipment in this is not as much of a continual thing. They kind of scale up in terms of money, where you are kind of buying and upgrading this stuff over time. As you get more money, and you can grind out coins if you want, but you get this these specific gems that you use to upgrade your equipment that will boost up its stats and all that. At least until you do start running into tougher enemies, and then you kind of need to go check if there's new stuff to buy. But it seems like there's maybe like three or four tiers of weapons and equipment. So it's not necessarily a super heavy like loot game or anything like that. But yeah, it seems like the magic is maybe more of the big thing here. I assume I have other elements, but I have fire right now as I'm working my way through the second dungeon. Which is where I can see more of the influence of the like side scrolling stuff, because there's more platforming areas here that usually require you to use that fire to light these like torches that will then refill all that stuff, or activate platforms and such. It's a fairly big area compared to the first dungeon, which is like basically like two, three floors that has one big staircase in the middle of it with a bunch of enemies all over it that you can just run up past most of them and avoid it. But yeah, the map is pretty simple for this island they have reached. They did not crash onto this island with a boat. They just landed, but it happens to be Dogi's homeland, so he's kind of catching up, and he just disappears really quickly in the story, as Adol kind of does his thing. A ton of the townspeople are like, "Well, there's an adventure. I don't know what they're hoping to gain here." And it's like, "Oh, we do stuff. That's what adventurers do, I guess." And eventually, you get people that need quest done and such. So yeah, it's pretty straightforward so far from what I've seen. Nothing really too complicated, but I have gotten tripped up by a couple of things here and there. Usually just not sure if forks on the road and some of these dungeons are where I'm supposed to go or not. But yeah, it's a pretty solid action RPG that's has some pretty decent stories so far. But yeah, I'm still fairly early on, so I'm hoping to put some more time into that. But yeah, if you enjoyed it originally on PSP, this is, you know, a better version of that. That should be easier to enjoy on modern platforms versus it being basically a PSP exclusive for the last probably almost 20 years at this point. But yeah, that is Yi's Memoir, The Oath in Fel'Ghana, and I was surprised to see that it's not a super expensive edition of the game. I think it's $30. That was sort of the impetus for me to kind of pick it up, is like, oh, this is a lot cheaper than I thought it was. And I had some spare cash to get a PSN card for that. So yeah, I've been enjoying that a lot so far. So yeah, there's Yi's Memoir, The Oath in Fel'Ghana. Let's see, I've also been putting some time into Euro Truck Simulator 2, as they had an event ending today. There's one for going through the Winterland event, sort of doing a bunch of deliveries to their new Winterland map that shows up for this event, which is the only time you ever see snow on any of their maps in the game, because it's sort of been a perpetual like summer state for the American Truck and Euro Truck Simulator games. This one has a lot of good snow, which causes the controls to change a little bit, as you have you know, your big trucks, if you're going fast, it'll take a good bit longer to slow down and do all that kind of stuff. So that's been a fun event. This is the second year they're doing it with this particular map, so that is cool. And yeah, let me see here. Also been playing this Steam game I got during the holiday sale, Tiny Terry's Turbo Trip, which is an independent game that came out, I think, last year. I got it for a decent price. And yeah, it is kind of an open world game, but one that does not take itself seriously at all. There's no combat, as they kind of brag about on some of their billboards and such. This town that I think is called Sprankletown or something like that. They have no cops, no anything. So you're kind of just able to kind of go wander around and talk to people and hit stuff. And you can hit people with a pipe or whatever and just kind of beat them up. And they don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
As well as you can take any vehicles you find, drive them around. It doesn't really matter. There's no concept of ownership of anything. So yeah, you're kind of mainly going around picking up the stuff that they call turbo junk. It's a collectible. And beating up like trash cans and trash bags and boxes and such, and getting cash out of that you can use to spend on either new items or hats or probably other stuff. I'll find out as I play more of it, but kind of talk to people, get little quests to do. And where I'm at right now, there's been some fun, silly stuff. Like I went down to the like beach club that they have there, where I guess Terry has won a lifetime supply of beach fries, as they call it, which seem to be super salty fries, which is the only thing that this shop sells. So he just goes in and gets the fries and I guess does whatever, take advantage of it, to which the person's like, man, you got to stop getting these extra fries because we can't afford this anymore. We're not making any money on any of this stuff. And you're like, well, what if you sell a second thing? And you kind of run through a bunch of options for things. Eventually land on this item called bug buns. So you have to essentially go buy a bug catching net. And then you catch like four different kinds of bugs that you find around there. And turn it into like a steam bun kind of situation, I guess. You like help them like, here's something you can sell. Cause they're like, oh, great. This will help me reach my lifelong goal. Which you find out is just to get out of this crippling debt we've been put in because of this guy. Cause he apparently just brings people over and just gets a bunch of free fries for them, or gets them and feeds them to his fish or whatever. It's like really, it's a very stupid game in that sense. Like when you start, Terry's at this essentially this job center to get a new job, and the only thing he's concerned about for the job is he needs a car. And so he's willing to forego pay just to get a car, to which I've probably driven that car like for 5 minutes, because you can just steal anybody's car and drive it around, so it's not really that important. Or do I really even do the job? I don't know that you can even do it. He joins like the taxi service kind of thing, which apparently he's hanging out in this town because his parents went on this big expensive summer vacation, but he has to stay behind because he got bad grades in school, so he's potentially gonna have to go do summer school or something. So he's sticking around just basically goofing around doing dumb stuff. It's a fun little open world game. So yeah, that's been a fun little silly thing that I've been enjoying. So yeah, there's that. That's out on PC, and as we'll talk about here a little later, it'll be coming to some new platforms pretty soon. So there's that. And then Wuthering Waves. I've been continuing to put some time into this as I try to dig into it further and kind of see where it's going. It still really hasn't unveil itself to be like anything super different than I thought it was going to be, which is not really too surprising. But yeah, it's still fun in its way. But yeah, I'm kind of slowing down on being able to get pulls super easily. Though I've been still getting some of them, but now I'm basically at the point where my characters can hit the first level cap 20, and then I can upgrade from there to get to 40. Though I'm not doing that for everybody just yet, because I don't really have any real reason to. I'm spending some of those XP resources to get more, to get them up a little bit, so they're not getting destroyed by some of the tougher enemies I'm facing. But it's like in the mid 20s really is where I'm at. So that's pretty much all that's going on with that game. So
yeah,
it's very much got a lot of the same stuff that Genshin Impact had. And the same concepts of, you know, you have to do more of the world stuff, world activity stuff to upgrade this one level bar that dictates how far you can upgrade your characters and get access to various features as they get introduced to it all. So it's very much a busy work kind of game, which is not bad at. It's one of those for the most part. So yeah, that's Wuthering Waves. That's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I'm still, I decided to go back and start playing Ghost of Tsushima. Specifically, I'm playing the Director's Cut Edition, which, among other things, because it's specifically made for the PS5, it makes it, you know, the graphics are a lot poppier. And honestly, you know, like, I played that game originally on the PS4, and it was absolutely gorgeous then. But it does not hold a candle to just how gobsmackingly beautiful it is on the PS5. It is crazy how good that game looks. And just it being able to, like, through all those fields and stuff of all the flowers and the grass, it's crazy how pretty it looks. But I also just forgot, like, how fun that game is. You know, just, you know, like, already the story is great, but just the actual gameplay, the combat, you know, the actually going into, like, forts and stuff and taking them over, it's just so much fun. But what I really wanted to do when playing this was I wanted to do the Iki Island stuff. See, for the director's cut, they added an additional segment to the game where you basically what happens is Jin comes across this weird, like, tribe of Mongols that's led by this sort of odd cult leader called the Eagle, who has this potion that basically drives people crazy whenever they take it. And so he ends up taking a boat to Iki Island that ends up shipwrecking. And he ends up having to sort of slowly, you know, recover all of his stuff and sort of realize, like, what life on Iki Island is. Because in his past, when he was younger, Jin joined his father on what was essentially a punitive expedition out to Iki Island to put down a rebellion that was being led by raiders. And because of that, he kind of has to hide who his identity is, because the Sakai name is not very well liked on Iki Island. And, I mean, not even samurai in general are not well liked over there, but the Sakai in specifically are not liked on that island at all. But the island adds, like, a bunch of new, like, side stuff you can do. There's, like, archery challenges, there's a sword fighting tournament, there's a thing with, like, a flute where you, like, charm animals and stuff. There's just all kinds of cool stuff. And top of, you know, all the other stuff that the game also offers, like, you know, the bamboo challenges and doing haiku and stuff like that. It also has, some new enemy types as well, including these shaman enemies who have the ability to basically keep any enemies near them sort of in a trance where they'll basically keep on fighting even though they're almost dead. And it makes, like, combat with them twice as hard unless you take out the shamans first. But yeah, that game is just I'm still amazed at how good that game is, and honestly, just making me anticipate Ghost of Yote that much more. On top of that, I'm also playing around with Fallout New Vegas, because, like I said, I have a PC that's actually good now. And so now I can take it and I can, put it on my computer and I can mod it. And so I'm sort of playing around with mods right now. And amongst other things, I'm sort of using that mod to like update the graphics so it's more lifelike compared to the, Oblivion type stuff that it looked like in the original. Because that game, when it originally came out, it came out as sort of like a spin-off of Fallout 3. Which was still very like Oblivion like in its graphics. So like we're predating Skyrim here, and Skyrim by modern standards looks kind of primitive. It doesn't compare to what Oblivion looked like. That's pretty much what I've been doing.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news. First up here, we got some Game Pass stuff for the first half of the month, though they announced this like right before. This essentially is only about a week's worth of content instead of announcing the whole month. So mm-hmm. most of this is already available at this point.
Yeah.
Let's see here. For console and PC on Game Pass Ultimate, PC Game Pass and Game Pass Standard, there's Road 96.
Yeah.
Returning to the Game Pass library. This is one of those narrative adventure games, but set on, essentially like a road trip.
Yeah.
Kind of thing where you have options to pick up people and
yeah,
drive them around, maybe get into danger or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah. But basically, the whole sort of story is that you're sort of making a run for the border during this, like, because you live in, like, this totalitarian country and you're trying to escape to the border and, like, you're sort of picking people up and having conversations with them on the way over there, all this other stuff. It's all right.
Yeah. That's one of them. Let's see. I think these three are all games that are already on Game Pass, but are moving to Game Pass Standard, or will be available on Game Pass Standard. There's Lightyear Frontier, which is still in early access as a, essentially an open world farming game where you are doing all this stuff while in a mech, basically. So there's that. There's also My Time at Sandrock. That's same similar kind of thing. Life sim where you are, I think it's in a desert area. So that's one you can check out. And then there's, let's see, Robin Hood Sherwood Builders. This seems like a crafting life sim survival kind of thing. So there's that. And then it seems like the last one here is Rolling Hills, which I enjoy. It's a life sim, but you are a robot chef who is running a sushi restaurant. I guess a restaurant in general, but you primarily make sushi that, it's kind of a, I forget what I'm trying to think of, but basically have people come in. The food comes automatically off of a conveyor belt. You pick it up for the people that want that kind of item. Usually it's color-coded. Makes it pretty simple. But you go around, take some quests from people, help them out so they get you currency or, social ranks, that kind of stuff. Improve your shop, make it bigger. Get more stuff to put in there because it'll enhance the vibes that people enjoy in it and all that. So yeah, that's a pretty fun little game. Mm. Let's see. There's two here that are not out yet. This one will be on January 14th for Game Pass Ultimate and EA Play subscribers. This is EA Sports UFC 5 for Xbox. The newest UFC game. So if you enjoy that stuff, that's one you can check out. Then the last one is a little bit of a surprise. January 14th, Diablo for the PC. This is the original Diablo game. That's going to be on Ultimate and PC Game Pass. So, you can see what the original Diablo was like, which was Yeah, much more primitive version of the of those games. Very much the like a late 90s PC game.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much the sort of template for a lot of those late 90s PC games. You know, there was in the late 90s, there was just a huge like glut of Diablo clones that came out almost monthly. Like there was a lot of them. I mean, that said though, it is still a pretty solid game. Although it still doesn't pale in comparison to its sequel. Like its sequel, it's like night and day with the sequel. The sequel is just that good.
Yeah. And it's, you can play this one and see like, here's what Diablo is like without all of the quality of life features you like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of similar to, what's the one that was made by the former Bethesda Diablo people?
Path of Exiles?
No. The one they made that was supposed to be an MMO at a certain point.
Hold on, let me look. Was it Albion Online?
No. Torchlight.
Torchlight, that's right.
Similar to like Torchlight and Torchlight 2.
Yeah.
Where Torchlight is centered on like one dungeon.
Yeah.
It is fairly simple for what it's doing, and then Torchlight 2, they open it up to a bunch of areas that you can go to and play with other people and all that kind of stuff. That's similar to how Diablo and Diablo 2 kind of felt in comparison.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of what you're getting for the next week here. Leaving, let's see. Exoprimal's leaving on the 15th, so by that one. Common Hood is leaving, which is hilarious. That is a crafting survival game. It's probably the worst game that's been on Game Pass ever.
Yeah.
I would say it's kind of a broken game. So that's kind of a wild thing that they put
pretty
on there.
Broken.
Yeah, especially on console where it felt like the controls and interface were only designed for PC, and they just did not include the any way to access elements of the game on console. It's just wild stuff when I was trying to play that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's that stuff. But yeah, that's your Game Pass lineup for the next few days. We'll probably get some more coming up here for the rest of the month. Though we do know a couple of things that will be coming to Game Pass, because I believe it's Sniper Elite Resistance and Citizen Sleeper 2 that'll be on there, but that's at the end of the month. So, but that's not all the Xbox news. They announced that they are having a Developer Direct on January 23rd.
Yep.
In about another week and a half here. That'll be at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
Where they will be talking about a handful of games. They mentioned here specifically South of Midnight. To see that game. Then they will be showing off Player Obscure Expedition 33, which is another Game Pass game, I think. And then they'll be showing off Doom the Dark Ages. See more of what that game's doing. And then... as they say here, visit a surprise location to see another studio's brand new game. So we'll see something new here at the very least. And then they may have another surprise in there.
Yeah, definitely.
As they tend to have for these directs. So,
yeah. So, yeah, obviously South of Midnight is one I've been kind of looking forward to for a while. Mostly because it like references a lot of stuff that I, you know, grew up hearing about. And also, I love the sort of stop-motion aesthetic it's got going. That's just, it's really cool. Also, Doom the Dark Ages, because I loved Doom, and I love Doom Eternal. So I can't wait to play more.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the Clair Obscur Expedition 33, which is a neat-looking turn-based RPG. That'll be interesting to see how that looks. That's a studio that they do not own, so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that game is exclusive to Xbox. I could be wrong on that, but Ghostborn, yeah, it's coming to PS5 as well. So it's interesting they're featuring a game that they do not own here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the case for the previous games they've featured, but I guess they must have all the marketing rights for this one. So,
yep,
that'll be one to check out. So,
mm-hmm.
there you go. That showcase will be next week, next Thursday.
Yep.
So yeah, let's see here. Monster Hunter Wilds beta will be returning.
Mm-hmm.
That they had going in. Oh, I think it was either November or December. I forget. But yeah, it'll be returning here for the weekends of February 6th through the 9th mm-hmm. and February 13th through the 16th, mm. Running from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. each time. I'm not sure which time zone that is. Mm. But yeah, it seems like you'll get a full 3-4 days, whatever that is. Check it out. It'll pretty much be mostly the same content that was in the previous beta. They say they will have one more enemy to hunt, the Gypsros Wyvern will mm-hmm. be added to it. So, but don't look for any like improvements, technical improvements or whatever, because I assume that stuff is held up for the final game versus this free thing you can check out. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't require PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live to play online. So that's another good chance to play some more of that. So, yeah, there you go. That is something fun you can check out next month.
Yep. Might actually do it.
Yeah. Good time to play it before the game comes out. And yeah, next up here, I mentioned this earlier, Tiny Terry's Turbo Trip is coming to some new platforms.
Mm-hmm.
It's been PC only for most of the last year. So it'll finally be coming to PS5 and Switch on February 13th. Mm. So that's cool. Yeah, as I said, it's a very silly, like, open world exploration kind of game where you're just going around, causing some chaos, running people over, hitting them with pipes and doing whatever, and nobody really cares. The cops are going to chase you or anything. So, yeah, that is that's a fun little game. So definitely one to keep an eye on.
All right.
Yeah. The town is called Sprinkle Water.
Yeah.
It's a very fun. So yeah, there you go. That's a fun one. But one game that was supposed to be coming out next month, Assassin's Creed Shadows, has been delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Delayed to March 20th. So will not be coming out until near the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
As they say in their message here, do we want to extend our heartfelt thanks to our incredible fans and dedicated teams for your unwavering support since our announcement in September to further refine and polish Assassin's Creed Shadows. Since November, we've been thrilled to share our progress through gameplay overviews, and the overwhelming excitement has truly inspired us. Each week has brought valuable feedback to from our community. While we've already mm-hmm. made remarkable strides, we believe a few additional weeks are needed to implement that feedback and ensure an even more ambitious and engaging day one experience. Accordingly, the new release date is March 20th, 2025. We remain committed to delivering a high-quality, immersive experience fostered by ongoing dialogue between our players and development teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Not too complicated there. So, yeah, that's going to be another extra month
to put
more work into that game. So, yeah.
Honestly, in hindsight, it's kind of smart because it pushes them out of kind of a crowded month.
Yeah.
Because February is going to has a bunch of stuff coming out this year. Some of them pretty games that people have been kind of anticipating. So honestly, kind of getting out of the way of that is pretty smart move.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just want that game to be really good. I want it to be good. I want it to sell so much because I want to shove it in all the incels' faces out of spite.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at the tweet here, and the first response that's showing here is from Domino's Pizza UK.
Yeah.
Saying, call us if you need help delivering on time. And Twitter. So yeah, there you go. But yeah, another thing that looks neat that got announced is a Lego Game Boy kit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nintendo posted a teaser of this, which obviously made people mad because Nintendo Switch people are mad that anything gets announced that isn't the Switch 2.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the fun aspect here. But yeah, that it looks pretty neat from what the teaser is showing. They don't show everything just yet, but they do say it'll be out in October, which is cool. I imagine this is not going to be one of those super complicated kits because it's, you know, a Game Boy is not that big of a thing. Especially compared to like the NES they had a couple years ago. Has like $200-something.
Yeah.
This I would assume is going to be under $100, but maybe they'll go for some extra thing in there that makes it more expensive. But I think $80 would be a pretty good price for that thing. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that looks cool. Something fun for people to check out. But yeah, that's it for the things we have dates on. We do have a couple other announcements here. Yeah, so WWE debuted on Netflix with the, I think Raw will be the show that's on Netflix every week.
Yep.
And part of that, they showed off a little teaser of WWE 2K25. Nothing really much to go with that. So I assume they'll announce a date or something. Yeah, they said more information on January 28th. So we'll see what new stuff that has. But yeah, that should be cool if they continue to improve on it. So yeah, that's one to keep an eye out on. There you go. And probably the most surprising announcement here is that Power Wash Simulator announced their next paid DLC. It is the Wallace and Gromit Special Pack.
Honestly, makes perfect sense for that franchise.
Yeah, I had figured something like this would be happening because they, when the new movie came out on Netflix, they basically posted a tweet being like, yeah, this, you know, Wallace and Gromit's Vengeance Most Foul is a fantastic movie. And made some joke about cleaning up there, and I was like, you fuckers better not be teasing us, you know. Teasing for nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, that's exactly what it is. They are going to have, let me see what the Steam page says for details here. I don't think they have a date for it yet, but it's probably coming the next month or so. And no more details in this. Okay. So yeah, it'll be featuring some areas of the world of Wallace and Gromit. So looks like you'll be cleaning inside the house, particularly the like dining room area they have.
Yep.
Outside the house. Okay, that's cool. Oh yeah, there's that big nook area that the, you know, they have the idea for going to the moon.
Yep.
Okay. And yeah, Gromit's doghouse. Oh yeah, and the robot dog that they make. The yeah. So yeah, that looks cool. I'm excited to see when that gets fully announced, but yeah, that's awesome to see. And then we got one more announcement here. Key Games announced their next game, Zoopunk, that is set in the world of Fist, Forged in Shadow Tech. This is the devs of that game, so they announced their next one, which should be pretty cool. Yeah, because the teaser thing they have here is kind of the rabbit character there. Yeah, that looks
pretty good. I played that game. That game's actually pretty good.
Yeah. That's a very fun little game. So yeah, this is pretty cool. So yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, they don't seem to have any sort of date on here, just announcing that they're working on the new thing and all that. So yeah, this also has AI in it. Cool. Using locally hosted Stable Diffusion image generation, request new ship artwork and adjust its paint job via text to speech inputs rather than the adjustment of dozens of sliders. Okay. Well, there you go. I'll have to keep an eye on that and see like what kind of AI ship festers in that. So there you go. Yeah, we got one CES announcement here to talk about. Hyperkin announced a new controller. It is essentially an Xbox controller that is inspired by the DualSense design.
Yeah, inspired is doing is kind of the key phrase here, because it basically just is the DualSense controller.
Yeah, it very much has the same kind of shape as the DualSense. The face buttons have the same kind of clear plastic look to them. The analog sticks are in the symmetrical phase there. There's no touchpad or anything, so they got the buttons kind of pulled in a little bit for the start and back on there. But yeah, other than that, it's definitely got all the vibes of that. The knock on this is that it's a wired controller.
Yeah.
Since the Xbox charges a lot more for the wireless protocol stuff, so most of the third-party controllers are wired. But this does have Hall Effect sticks in it, so that's nice. It'll be a bit more resistance to wear and tear that analog sticks on all the major controllers tend to have these days. So yeah, that is pretty cool. I might get this if it's cheap as like a PC controller, because that'll make it a little bit easier to have one just for that instead of plugging in controllers all the time for that. So yeah, that's cool. It also has two programmable back buttons, so you get that as well, so that's cool. We'll have to see how this looks when it's out later this year, but yeah, it's a nice looking controller, so that might be one to keep an eye on. So yeah, that's I think that's it for all of the specific announcements here.
Yeah, pretty much. As far as announcements go, that's basically it. Pretty much everything we've got now is more or less corporate stuff.
Yeah, industry news.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard, there's a new Switch coming. It seems like there's been tons of leaks and all that. I've been trying to ignore most of them as I can because I don't really care to know about it right this second. Especially without any sort of dates, but Nintendo has been just kind of weirdly quiet on everything, not really speaking out on anything, but they did speak up on this thing, which happened at CES, a company called Genki, that is sort of an accessory maker, decided to speak up because Genki had some sort of, I think, 3D printed version of the Switch, trying to be like, this is what it's, you know, the proportions and all this looks like. And Nintendo basically put out a statement that said, the gaming hardware that Genki is claiming to be Nintendo hardware at CES is unofficial and was not provided to the company by Nintendo. Which is weird. But yeah, saying that, yeah, what was seen was not official, which is, of course, obvious because it... what they were showing off to people was 3D printed models of it.
Yeah.
Why they were doing this, I don't know, but they apparently had some new C button on it. And so now Genki is like backtracking in the wake of this, saying that their model was not in fact based on a real Switch 2, but rather leaked information that's circulating in the industry. So yeah, that's all the Switch 2 news we have. Really. And Nintendo said this fake thing is actually fake and not real.
Yeah.
Not commenting on anything else that's going on. around this, especially in the Apple style, where accessory makers are the ones leaking things because they are putting out hardware for it that you can buy now, but you have to take on their word that that is going to actually work on the Switch too, whenever that's out. So yeah, that's the weird Switch 2 news of the week. It's has not been announced yet, so we'll have to keep waiting for an official announcement. So probably not out this week. That's all we can say. But yeah, we got some bad news here. Splash Damage, beloved multiplayer developer and all that, have announced that they are laying off some of their people in the wake of a canceled game that is apparently a Transformers game called Transformers Reactivate. That was really enough, kind of far enough along that Hasbro was making toys for it and has just put them out in the wake of this. So they're going to make some money off of this property either way. So that's the only way you're going to get any version of that game, but you can look up some gameplay of that title. So there's some video of it that makes it look like it's all right. But it probably was not coming together very well. They decided to cancel it and lay off people as a result and move others to other parts of the studio to work on other projects. As they said here, today we have some very difficult news to share. Decision has been made to end development of Transformers Reactivate. This means we'll be scaling down to refocus our efforts on other projects. Of course, despite every effort, a number of roles across the studio are now potentially at risk of redundancy. This decision did not come lightly, and it is but a difficult time for the studio and our people. We want to take a moment to thank the team who worked on Transformers for their dedication and passion. So yeah, I don't think they put out a number for how many, but if I remember correctly, Splash Damage might be in the UK, so they may not be able to post exactly how many people just yet. To go through the whole process that companies in the UK have to go through for that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's sad to see. I wish those people getting laid off all the luck in finding new work. Because unfortunately, there's not much of it.
No, not a whole lot to go around in this industry right now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, so there you go. There's your bummer news for the week. One here that's slightly promising. So Private Division got sold off last year. That was sold off to an unknown party. Apparently we have found out that at this point that it is a private equity firm called Haveli Investments, who has, and also if you remember the staff that was running Annapurna Interactive, the games publisher, sort of uniformly quit. It seems like many of those people have been hired to run the new private division, whatever form this is. I don't know if there is any official confirmation that they're going to keep being called Private Division or just come up with a new name, but it seems like a number of those people have been hired to run this new company and sort of manage the properties that they have, which includes Tales of the Shire, the Lord of the Rings game, the Kerbal Space Program games, and I remember this, they were publishing a Game Freak game called tentatively Project Bloom.
Yep.
That is also part of this. So yeah, managing some of the games that they have coming up in the future, as well as part of the probably some of the more recent stuff that they may still control. But yeah, it's it seems like the best possible outcome of all this. Though being owned by a private equity firm is an iffy thing at this point. We'll have to see how that all goes. But yeah, the people that were running Annapurna Interactive ran a really good ship there, and certainly would be the right kind of people you'd want to hire for an indie publishing label like Private Division. So that seems like a pretty smart move on their front. So yeah, we'll have to see how this goes, but at least that's some promising news. wanted to see when they make their official like public unveiling of all this, but it seems like that is going to probably happen at some point, because especially because one of those games, Tales of the Shire, the Lord of the Rings game, will be out in March, so they'll probably want to do some public marketing in the near future, so have to see how all this goes, but there's some good news there for you, at least. So yeah, I don't know if you have anything to add, Brandon.
No, not really. Just Annapurna is really one of the more fascinating in this industry. They put out some really artsy games that are honestly kind of definitely like off the beaten path with what much of the industry does. And I'm glad that they kind of still stick to that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's fun. But yeah, I think that is going to end up doing it for the show this week. But yeah, that is that is it. So yeah, thank you, Brandon, for joining.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news. If you enjoy the show, for let friends and family know, they should join check out the podcast and and select strangers that are also interested in good things happening in this industry. Not been as much in the way of layoffs, at least for the time being, so hopefully we can keep those major layoffs away for a while. But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, stay tuned. We'll be back next week. What new stuff do we have coming out in the next week here? We got Blade Chimera, Donkey Kong Country Returns HD, Dynasty Warriors Origins, and Tales of Graces F Remastered. So two new games and two old games. So that's stuff you can check out. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.